You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, December 19th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Scrooge That Tried to Steal Christmas.
Take your Bible now, please, if you will, and go back to the book of Matthew chapter 2, the book of Matthew chapter 2, if you will, the book of Matthew chapter 2, if you will, and look at verse 10. May we stand for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had, watch it, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And may we pray, Father, we thank you for tonight. And we thank you for the privilege to be able to open the Bible and to be able to learn. Now speak to our hearts tonight, would you please, and show us a great truth that will help us. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, if you will. And let's notice this together tonight. I want to speak. I want to speak. If I may have this one. I want to speak tonight on the Scrooge that tried to steal Christmas. The Scrooge that tried to steal Christmas. I wrote out a title for this last night. I set up late, especially on Saturday nights. I want things to be fresh. And so most of the time on Saturday nights is when I set up late and I prepare the sermons for Sunday morning and for Sunday night. And so I'll set up late on a Saturday night. Most of the time I have a thought that God begins to work in my heart to be able to give to you before even the Sunday service is over, and I'll ponder on that. But I don't put it all together until a Saturday night, mostly after I have a good, fresh day of soul winning. And so I'll get in and I'll start working, and sometimes I'll work till 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30. Whenever I get done is when I get done. And then I go to bed, get some rest, get up the next morning, get in here for my kids to get on the bus routes and for me to go out and start following up people. And I started to work on a message on Christmas delight or despair. And of course that could be a subtitle if you want that to be. But I was thinking about this afternoon, and I was thinking about Herod. And I thought about Herod and all that he tried to do. And I think that probably he's the first Scrooge that ever came around. And so I want to speak tonight on the Scrooge who tried to steal Christmas. I want you to look at it again just one more time. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And of course, this is the wise men as we studied this morning. This is the wise men. They saw the star. They were glad that they saw the star. They were glad to be able to follow and do the will of God. But notice this, if you will, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, and when they come into the house. Now, it's different than when the shepherds showed up. You know, some people, here's what they do, and you'll see a lot of manger scenes. And in the manger scenes, you have shepherds and you have the wise men, and all of them are kind of gathered together in the manger scene. But we understand now the shepherds have already come and gone. The shepherds had come to see baby Jesus, if you will. There in the book of Luke, you can read about that, especially in chapter 2 and verse 7, where the Bible says that those shepherds came and they saw the firstborn, if you would please, of Mary, and he was laid in a manger. And so when the shepherds showed up, they saw baby Jesus laying in a manger. The Bible says that he was clothed in swaddling clothes, and that's what the poor people would put their babies in. And so he was wrapped up in this particular type of garment, and he was laying in the manger. That's when the shepherds came. But then later on, you'll see that he's not talked about as being one lying in a manger. But when the wise men show up, you'll see that now they're not in the manger anymore. Matter of fact, the Bible says they're in a house. And the Bible says that these wise men come to the house, and the Bible gives the indication that now baby Jesus is not a baby anymore, but rather he's a young child. Because the Bible says here, if you'll notice your Bible, the Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And so now baby Jesus is not that little bitty baby that's laying right there, if you will please, in the manger. But now he's known as a little child. child. He's known as a young child. But now watch this, if you will. The Bible says here that they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented, it says, unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now watch in verse 12. The Bible says, and being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, but the Bible says that they departed into, it says, their own country another way. And so what is taking place here is you see that here is the wise men. The wise men, of course, were those that were summoned by Herod. Herod wanted to know where the baby Jesus would, where that which would be called the King of the Jews was going to be. He did not want to know where the King of the Jews was going to be simply because he wanted to give treasures of his own. He did not want to know where the King of the Jews was going to be because he wanted to bow down and worship. He did not want to know where the King of the Jews would be simply because he wanted to give some type of homage, if you would, or homage, so that he could take and lift up with accolades of praise. He didn't want to do any of that. What he wanted to do was to destroy that one that was called Jesus. And so I believe with all my heart that this Scrooge decided that he wanted to destroy the very first Christmas. You'll see here that there's a lot of negativity, if you will, in this particular story. And of course, we like to think about Christmas as being that which is lights and that which is glitter and that which is trees and that which is gifts and that which is music, if you will, please, sung at a certain tone about a certain event, which would be Christ. And we like to think about all those great things. But may I tell you, there was a battle in order for us to ever have Christmas. There was a battle that had to be won, and there had to be Joseph that followed the will of God, and there had to be a Joseph that decided to take Jesus and Mary and to obey exactly the leadings and the promptings of God in his life, or you would never have what you have today. Now, I want us to notice something here. Let's notice the characteristics of Herod. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 1. The Bible says, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Bible says, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So these men are coming from a great distance. They're coming from the east to Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 2, saying, where is the king? Watch it. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And so they're inquiring. They're asking questions. They're trying to find out where this one has been born that is king of the Jews. The Bible says, for we see the star in the east and are come to worship him. So they had one thing in mind. We're going to come not to see what he can give us, but we're going to come to see what we can give him. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Herod the king had heard these things and was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now why? Because here's somebody that's born king of the Jews. Here's a man, and we have to understand who Herod is. We have to understand that every time that Herod would look into the mirror, he would see his power. Every time that he would go and look into the mirror, he would see his prestige. Every time that Herod would go and he would look into the mirror, he would see his own wealth. Every time that he would look into the mirror, he could see his sepulcher. Every time that he would look into the mirror, he would see his own crown. Every time he looked into the mirror, he could see his royal house. And so this was a man that was arrayed in fine linen and riches. This was a man that was used to the prestige and the power of that which was a true king. We understand, according to history, that in 47 BC, all the way up to 4 BC, that he was used in a mighty way. He was used to build palaces, and he was used to build the temple twice as big as it was. He was used even during the famine time of 25 BC, when he himself took all of his gold that he could find, and he melted it down in order to feed his own people. And so here was a man that sacrificed. Here was a man that decided that he had earned the right of always be called that which is the king. And now he hears that there's another king that's born. Now he hears that there's a little baby. Now tell me, come on, for real, how many could be threatened by a baby? What is the big threat by a little bitty baby? But one day the baby's going to grow. One day, come on. Your child does not stay a little baby or does not stay a child all of their lives. They will grow up. They will do something. Whether it be for God or whether it be for the devil, they're going to rise up and they're going to do something. Now watch this, if you will. The Bible talks about, I believe, some of the problems that he was having in his life. The Bible talks about how Herod, I believe, was probably a very insecure man. Just by token of the fact of where he was laying up his personal wealth. Where he was laying up his personal riches. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not, it says, up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. So God says it's not a good thing to lay treasures up on the earth. Why? Because they are going to rust. Moth is going to corrupt them. And if not, maybe there's going to be some thieves that pass by and just steal. Verse 20, the Bible says, but lay, it says, up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt. Where it says, thieves do not break through and steal. But Herod never did that. Herod never laid up any treasures in heaven. Everything that he laid up was in his presence. Everything that he laid up was where he could see it. And he wanted all those things to be himself. All those things of his own ownership. All those things to be in his own presence. And by the way, have you ever seen a Scrooge? A Scrooge tries to get all they can and set on the can. A Scrooge is somebody that's all wrapped up in themselves. By the way, anytime a person is wrapped up within themselves, they make a very small package. You think about this. Here he is, I believe the forerunner of all Scrooges to come, the forerunner of all Grinches that is to come, the forerunner of all that which is the old humbug that is to come. Here is that which is the original Scrooge. The original Scrooge all wrapped up in himself. Why would a baby bother him? Why would a baby bother him that is born? Just knowing where he was born. Being born and being that which is wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And here's a king that looks at himself. Here's a king that sees himself. Here's a king that's got royal stature. Why in the world would that bother him? I'll tell you why it bothered him. Because he was wrapped up in himself. He was wrapped up thinking, boy, I tell you what, I don't want anything. Look, did you know a person that has confidence in the right person, and that is God? It doesn't matter what anybody else does. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right, now watch this tonight. And so here's what you see. You see the first Scrooge. What's he like? He's like the man that said this. A man went to God one day and he approached God and he said, Lord, he said, up in heaven, how much time is a million years? And the Lord said, well, you know, a million years to me in heaven is like a second. The man came back and he said, well, God, let me ask you a question. Up in heaven, how much money is $1 million? And God said, well, $1 million up in heaven is like a penny. He said, great. Hey, God, would you do me a favor? Would you give me one of your pennies? God said, in a second. You know, it's important for us to understand tonight that we ought not to be selfish with what God gives us. Herod was a very selfish individual. He was all wrapped up in a small container called self. He's the very first Scrooge that we ever come across. Statement number two, Herod's sin hardened his heart towards others. Herod's sin of being wrapped up in self, being wrapped up in pride, caused him to harden his heart towards others. Here's what you see. Look at it. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 7. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 7. Here's what it says. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And so what's he doing? Because he's all wrapped up within himself, because he's got that hard heart is pushing him to do something that's not normal. Something that is not urgent, listen to me, now becomes urgent. Something that could wait, now can't wait. You know, a person that is selfish always wants what they want now. Have you ever seen the Walmart brat? What's the problem? They want it now. Have you ever seen the person go shopping and they always have to buy it immediately if it's on sale, whether they need it or not? What is that? Now. Have you ever seen the teenager that wants the cell phone, that wants the car, that wants the house, that wants the truck, that it took dad and mom 40 years to save up to get? What's the problem? Now. Come on. Have you ever seen a boy start to like a girl? Come on. Tries to impress the girl. Man, he struts a certain way around the girl. He doesn't strut around anybody else that way. Around the girl, he's the cool guy. Come on. He's got the cool walk. He's got the chest protruding out. He sucks at his belly. I mean, he's got the walk. He's got the strut. Man, he begins to walk. You know, he's got it down. Now he gets around people and tries to pretend something. He wants to be the number one. Problem is, when he gets around the corner, his belly comes out and his chest goes in. It's all a forest. It's all a problem. Hey, look, give us some young men that are red hot preachers that doesn't care about what the world says. Give us some young men that decide we're not going to dress down for church and up for the world. But let's have some young men that's going to dress up for church and go out and work in the world. Hey, but you listen to me. We've got to have some people that's going to stand up, that's going to do right. Hey, give us some young preacher boys that's going to shout when the preacher preaches. Give us some young preacher boys that's going to preach again. And sin. Give us some young preacher boy that's not afraid to do right and will stand up and do what God tells you to do. Oh, you listen to me tonight. It is very important that we understand Herod was wrapped up within himself. He was wrapped up in pretending that he was somebody. And by the way, maybe God esteemed him, but the same God that lifts you up is the same God that can take you down. The same God that blesses you is the same God that can take blessings from you. Listen to it tonight. Herod was wrapped up within himself. And by the way, nobody else mattered. Herod was a man that had a hard heart towards others. Look at verse 8. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, and he sent them to Bethlehem. So he's sending them out. And by the way, he didn't have to do that. They're going to go anyway. These guys were on a mission. These guys had decided, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find the Christ child. And when somebody's determined, it doesn't matter if everybody's for you or nobody's for you. For some reason, I don't know why, but it seems like we always have to try and get the prestige of people. You know, man, I got to get people on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Man, I don't need somebody's. I need God. I need to be able to rely on God. And I go to God. And I don't need to be wrapped up in myself. I need to be wrapped up in God. I need the Holy One to come down. I need God to take and work in my life. I need God to take and stir me. That's who I need inside of my life. I don't need somebody else to give me accolades of praise. I can get alone with God. And I can pray the power of God down from heaven. That's all you need. You don't need somebody to pat you on the back and tell you that you did a good job. All you need is you need God to work in your life. You need God to come through for you. You need God to be on your side. You get God on your side and no man. And it doesn't matter how big he is. And it doesn't matter how tall he is. And it doesn't matter how broad he is. You get God on your side and God can help you. Here's a person wrapped up within themselves. Statement number one. Statement number two. Herod's sins caused his heart, I do believe, to become harder and harder. Here's what he said. He said, inquire, it says, of them diligently. The push is on. The push is on. Now let's be careful to push our kids to be spiritual. Amen. He was pushing them for self. Let's, come on. Thank God for teen soul winning. Boy, the other night, we had the sweetheart couples class come at our house. And Brother Wislowski brought, I don't know, about 18 people or so. Came out the house, and we had fellowship. It was good. It was good. I spoke at the funeral, came back, had to do some follow-up work in the afternoon, got some chairs. Well, I forgot the chairs. We got all the way out to the house, and my wife said, my wife had to go get the cookies, to bake the cookies, and she said, you know, we forgot something. I said, what did we forget? She said, where are they going to sit? I said, the floor? And she said, you know, we probably need to get some chairs. And so she went out and got more cookie dough and went out and got that. And then we found out the teenagers was just going to drop by. Amen? And so Brother Dowdy had, called or texted or something about an hour and a half or so before you guys were going to show up. And I thought, man, we can't have teenagers over a house and not do something. So I asked my wife, how many cookies you got left? We might have to go to the cookie factory again. You know, can you cook more cookies? What can you do? You know, and then I thought, you know, teenagers love candy. I am preaching spiritual tonight, fellas. You can say amen. I thought, man, teenagers love candy. So I went down to this very expensive store, Dollar General. And I thought, our teenagers deserve nothing but the best. So I went down to Dollar General and I started shopping and I thought, wow, I need to find some candy canes. And I found some candy canes at a very expensive price. I'm not going to tell you how much I sacrificed. But I got about 60 candy canes. Amen. Then for the youth department leaders, I got the big candy canes. We want to fatten them up for Jesus. Amen. And so now, wait a minute. Wait. But we wanted to do something to say, I love you. Come on. Hey, what would be wrong with not being so wrapped up in yourself that you serve somebody else? This is not a new doctrine. Hey, what would be wrong with saying, hey, mom, dad, I just want to let you know, you don't have to buy me any Christmas present this year. I want you to have all the money. Hey, what would be wrong with that? All the dads are shouting amen. All the fellows are down here turning Catholic. Amen. Come on. Hey, what would be wrong with just deciding, hey, oh, I know I've been wanting this. Man, I've been wanting this game. It's expensive, but I know you've been working hard, and I don't want you to spend that kind of money on me. Instead of doing that, hey, preacher said you could go to Dollar General. Okay, none of the teenagers are liking this. Statement one, Herod's, think about this, Herod's sin was because of a hardened heart. You know, when a person gets wrapped up within themselves, if they're not careful, they begin to lean a certain direction. Come on. Have you ever seen somebody wrapped up in this? Have you ever heard somebody talk that is wrapped up within themselves? It's always I, me, mine. It's always my feelings. Well, I deserve. This is my right. Well, come on. The person's always that way. You know why children argue over possessions? Because one says it's theirs and the other person says it's theirs, and it's all over a thing because of selfishness. Come on. Here's what we see tonight. We see that Herod was all wrapped up within himself. Nothing else mattered. Statement number two, Herod's sin was his heart was getting harder and harder, and it was hurting other people. Had a wrong response. Look at it, Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 8. The Bible says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Now, there's a difference between a young child and a child. So we know that Jesus was still a young child. And so they're supposed to go, and they're supposed to go and search diligently. And the Bible says that he's telling them, and when he had found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. What a liar. He knew what he was doing. But a person that is wrapped, stay with me, a person that is wrapped up within themselves, they'll lie, they'll deceive. You know why? Because I'm important, and it doesn't matter how your feelings are, and it doesn't matter what you think. I'm number one. I'm going to take care of me. If I have to step on you in order to get ahead, that's what I'm going to do. And by the way, it doesn't matter who they're stepping on. It doesn't matter if they're stepping on mama, and it doesn't matter if they're stepping on daddy, and it doesn't matter if they're stepping on grandpa or grandma, and it doesn't matter whose feelings they're hurting. They could care less. All they care about is number one. All they care about is me, mine, I, just me. I'm the important one. It ought not to be that way. Listen to it. He began to harden his heart, and because he hardened his heart, you'll see that his response to others was not the way that it should be. Statement number one, Herod was wrapped up in himself, so nobody else mattered. Statement number two, Herod's sin had so hardened his heart that he didn't care about others' responses. Statement number three, Herod learned, listen about this, Herod never learned, only to be satisfied with giving. He never learned, only to be satisfied with giving. Never learned that. He wanted. He had everything, but he wanted more. You know, a person that's selfish, they always want more. Give me a bigger house, nicer car. I deserve it. Oh, come on, folks. Now, don't you get mad at me, but if you got what you deserve tonight, you'd be burning in hell. It's only by the grace of God tonight that we're saved. It's only by the mercy of God tonight that we're not in the fires of hell. Anything you get above hell is a brownie point. Amen. Now watch this tonight. Here's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Bible says, and being warned of God, it says in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed, it says, in their own country. It says, another way. Did you know God warned them? But I really think that probably Joseph was wise enough, even if God was not going to warn him, to kind of see what was happening. Because you get around somebody, if you are around somebody, or you hear about somebody, their testimony always precedes them. But God does give warning. You ever walk up beside somebody and the Holy Ghost just kind of taps you a little bit and says, say this. Has he ever done that to you? Boy, he's done that to me a lot. You know, and I'll be walking up beside somebody and the Holy Ghost will tell me to take and say, it might be an encouraging word, might be a rebuke. Might be a word of exhortation. But so many times the Holy Ghost will take and he'll just kind of tap on me a little bit and say, boy, you need to say that. You need to say that. And then when you walk away and you don't say that, you feel pretty bad, don't you? Have you ever said something you shouldn't have said? Come on, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. You ever said something you shouldn't have said? And by the way, you knew you shouldn't have said it before you said it. Especially if you've been married a long time. You know what buttons to press that you should not press. You know. Don't look at me that way. You know. All right, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, and when they had departed, it says, behold, an angel, it says, of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And by the way, the devil always wants to destroy your children. He's not going to give up. You notice that the Bible says that Herod was seeking. Seeking? Doesn't the Bible say that the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Seeking? That's what the world does. Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, and Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof. Listen to it now. From 2 years old and under. Now watch what it says. According, it says, to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And so here's what he did. He said, okay, I just kind of surmising, Herod said, look, I think Jesus was at least 2 years of age or younger. So just to make sure that I get him, just to make sure that he's destroyed, I'm just going to kill all of the male children. I'm just going to kill them all. I'm just going to kill them all. I'm going to get rid of them. Now, wait a minute. Where did it start? Wrapped up in self. A person that's wrapped up in self has more of a tendency to develop a hard heart. Stay with me. And a person that develops a hard heart, it has more of a tendency never to be satisfied with a little wrong. They want to do a greater wrong. But where does it start? It always starts with being wrapped up in self. There'd be no divorces if the husband and the wife are not wrapped up in self. There'll be no discord in the home if the children and the parents are not wrapped up in self. There would be no division in any church in America if the members of the church and the pastor is not wrapped up in self. But here the Scrooge, if you would, the Scrooge that tries to destroy the Christmas back then, the Christ, if you would, the Christ child is the same one that works and is alive today inside of our hearts. It's a picture of the flesh. And the flesh is always trying to rise up, and the flesh always wants more, and the flesh is never satisfied, and the flesh is always thinking of me first, me first, me first. And it doesn't matter what my parents think, and it doesn't matter what my relatives think, and it doesn't matter what my husband thinks, and it doesn't matter what my wife thinks, and it doesn't matter what my employees or employer thinks, and it doesn't matter what the members think. I am the important one. Wrapped up in self. The more a person is wrapped up in self, the more tendency they have a hard heart towards the needs of others. You know, when a person's wrapped up in self, they never look as to how they can be a blessing to others, but they always get their feelings hurt when others are not a blessing to them. When a person is wrapped up in themselves, they're never concerned about, should I have said that? That might have been said wrong. A person's wrapped up in self. How many times have you seen a person wrapped up in themselves? How many times do they apologize? How many times do they just say words, whether it's through text messaging, whether it's over the telephone, whether it's through email, whether it's on one of these pages that people have where they put their thoughts down that nobody cares about? I mean, come on, think about it. You know what they're doing? Look, we got to be careful about our words. Why? Those words, they protrude. Those words, they go down. Hey, we're supposed to exhort one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to go out and decide that we can be a blessing to somebody else. Herod did not do that. Herod was wrapped up in himself, got that hard heart, and because of that hard heart, he was never satisfied. He always wanted more, and because of that, he killed. How many times have you seen a person grew up selfishly? By the way, don't ruin your kids. Amen. Now, I'm not, please don't get me wrong, I am not against Christmas. Man, I'm for it. You know, if you want to spoil your kids, go ahead. But listen to me. Don't make it so that you spoil your kids so much that you turn them into an ingrate. Don't spoil your friends so much. Are you listening to me? We're living in a land of plenty. It blows my mind when I preach in other countries around the world and I got preachers that come to me and they belly ache because their air conditioner's not working. Who cares? Boy, they belly ache because their bed's not soft enough. Good night. Be a man. Sleep on the floor. Yeah, it blows my mind. Well, the food is not cooked especially right. Eat it anyway, Bubba. It's good for you. Well, you know, I might get poisoned. Good, you'll go to heaven early. Amen. Oh, boy, I sound hard-hearted, don't I? I'm sorry. I'm bitter. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, we bellyache about everything. And if you come to me with in West Africa or some of these other places, you don't have the nice commodities that we have here. You just don't have it. We are spoiled rotten. And by the way, I'm like you. I like it. I would rather drive an air-conditioned car than an un-air-conditioned car. And my wife likes it too because she don't smell me then. Come on. I'm spoiled too. I've gotten used to sleeping on a bed that actually has foam on it and it's nice and it's cushiony. I have two pillows. Come on. Man, I love it. I've got socks that do not have holes. Well, they do in the top, but I mean in the bottom. Show you. No. I mean, God's been good to me. Amen. And God's been good to you. But don't let it go to your head. Come on. Hey, Sometimes it would be good just to sacrifice for the sheer purpose of sacrificing. Sometimes it would be good just to unspool the child as fast as you spooled them. Sometimes it would be good to think about somebody. Hey, Herod never had that. Herod had everything that he wanted. Herod developed a hard heart, wasn't sensitive towards the needs of others, and it even turned out that he started murdering babies. Something's not right there. Listen to it and I'm done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 17, the Bible says, then was fulfilled that which it says was spoken by Jeremy. It says the prophet saying, of course that's Jeremiah. So here it was prophesied many, 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 many years ago. The Bible says in verse 18 that Ramah, the Bible says, was there, and a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping, it says, for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So God said, now wait a minute. He said, look, it's going to happen. But did you know the same God is the same God that wants to protect, just like he protected Joseph? Just like he protected Mary? Just like he protected his very own son? Verse 19, and I'm done. But Herod was dead. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared. It says, in a dream to Joseph. And of course, that was in Egypt. And there was freedom then because Herod was dead. Now that shows me something. When you have problems, problems will not always stay. Well, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I've got some Herods in my life. What do I do? I don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Come on. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I've got some selfish people wrapped up in themselves. What do I do? Well, just because they are doesn't mean that you need to be. You know, you can be everything that you should be to everyone else, no matter how somebody else is to you. You know, just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean that you don't have to like them. We don't have anybody in the church that way. And by the way, we don't have anybody in the church that's stuck up either. I thank God for that. Well, I thank God that we got a church that people love people. Nobody's hanging their nose in the clouds trying to float along saying, look at me, I'm somebody. I thank God for that. But you listen to me tonight. That may come one day if we ever get wrapped up in ourselves. Whenever we don't have time for somebody else, whenever we could care less for somebody else, that's on the way to a hardened heart. To a hardened heart. What comes after that? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Long as my end result is what I get, that's what matters. Herod, I believe, evident of the first Scrooge of Christmas. Let's have a good Christmas, amen? Let's just decide that we're going to love people. Let's just decide that we're not going to be wrapped up in self. Don't decide you're going to wrap yourself up and put yourself under the Christmas tree, and when somebody opens it, you say boo. Don't do that. You be that individual that does not become wrapped up in self, but that individual that is giving, that is kind, that individual that's looking for, if you will, please, a way to help somebody else. That individual, if you will, that's not going around saying, okay, I'm going to get what I want, even if it means killing, but rather, why don't you give that life? Why don't you give that abundant life that they can have in Christ as you connect them to God the Father through the Son.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.